to repeat. Yatra.
Yatra.
Where?
Where?
Havava.
Havava.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Bhagavan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purihi, the Lord. Adya api, even today. Tatra tyanam,
residing in that place.
Nijajananam,
for his own devotees.
Vatsalyena,
by his transcendental affection.
Sanidapyate,
becomes visible.
Icharupena,
according to the desire of the devotee.
So translation.
At Pulaha Ashrama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, out of his transcendental affection for his devotee, becomes visible to his devotee, satisfying his devotee's desires.
So you can repeat. At Pulaha Ashrama,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari,
out of his transcendental affection
for his devotee,
becomes visible to his devotee,
satisfying his devotee's desires.
So purport by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
The Lord always exists in different transcendental forms, as stated in the Brahma Sanghita, in the 5th chapter, text 39.
Ramani murti shukalani hamena tishtana navatarama katod bhuvane shukintu Krishna swayam samabhavat padaman pumanyo Govindumari purusham tamaham bhajami.
The Lord is situated as himself, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is accompanied by his expansions like Lord Ram, Paladev, Sankarshan, Narayana, Mahavishnu, and so forth. The devotees worship all these forms according to their liking, and the Lord, out of his affection, presents himself as Parcha Vigraha. He sometimes presents himself personally before the devotee out of reciprocation or affection. A devotee is always fully surrendered to the loving service of the Lord, and the Lord is visible to the devotee according to the devotee's desires. He may be present in the form of Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, Lord Nrisimhadeva, and so on. Such is the exchange of love between the Lord and his devotees. So, Om Ganatim Randasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshura Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So this reciprocation that the Lord has with his devotees also applies to the reciprocation that he has with the non-devotees. It's very interesting that it's described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam when the different types of personalities saw the Lord, that they saw him as different things. Like some people saw Krishna as personified death. Others saw Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Others saw him as the most lovable object. So, of course, that is mentioned in the 4th chapter of the Gita. Yeyata mam prapajante tam sataiva pajamiham. As they approach me, reciprocate with me, I reciprocate or give them according to their approach or according to their desire. So this actually principle applies for both devotees and non-devotees. But here in this verse, it's talking about devotees. So devotees, of course, let's describe what a devotee is. A devotee is not simply someone who joins the Hare Krishna movement, puts on tilak, and wears a dhoti or sari. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, in this age of Kali, then you may find some Kali chelas who are wearing dhotis and tilak and neck beads and everything like that. Kali Chela means a disciple of Kali. And you actually see that happening in the modern day and age, that many people in the guise of being devotees spend a majority of their time, or a great deal of time, criticizing Vaishnavas. Actually, how you can tell who is a devotee is not simply someone who chants Hare Krishna. Of course, you know, one sense you say if someone chants Hare Krishna once, they're a devotee, and you offer respect in the mind, according to Rupa Goswami. But those who are, let us say, serving the Vaishnavas, that is actually one of the best ways to tell or see is someone who is a devotee, if they're actually serving other Vaishnavas, and also Jivadoi and Namaruchi. Jivadoi means they have compassion for other living entities, for the Jiva souls, and they have a taste for the holy name, and they're non-envious. They are not manifesting, at least externally, the anarthas, kama, krodha, madhavatsarya, varyavaya. Anyway, so, and a devotee means someone who is devoted, not simply one who is externally following the rules and regulations. All right, so that's a devotee. So amongst the devotees, that is, Prabhupada actually said, if someone is going to be called a devotee, they should be a pure devotee. But actually, amongst the devotees, there are devotees who are focused on different forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not only on different forms, but also on different rasas within the manifestation or within the reciprocation of a particular form. Now, for example, the devotees who are in Vrindavan are obviously focused on the form of the Lord Brajendra Nandana. That means Krishna, who is the dearmost of Braj, and also Nanda Maharaj's son. So there's different rasas. You know, someone may be a coward boy, someone may be a gopi. Actually, there's two types of gopis. Two types of rasas manifested by gopis. Some gopis are elderly gopis, and the elderly gopis are generally not manifesting the conjugal attraction, whereas the younger gopis manifest the conjugal attraction. Of course, there's an exception to that. The exception to that is the wives of the brahmanas, the ritualistic brahmanas, who were older. They were married, older, and when they were bringing Krishna the foodstuffs that they stole from their husband's sacrifices, they actually felt conjugal attraction for Krishna. So in any case, there's different rasas. There's different forms of the Lord. There's different rasas. Rasa means taste. It doesn't mean relationship, just so you understand that. It means the taste of a particular relationship. Just like there's different foods, and there's different tastes that one gets from the different foods. For example, the different types of food that are salty or hot or sweet. And these are different rasas, different tastes. And the different types of foods are like spinach and what else? And sweet balls and puris. Those are the different types of foods, but they, within the different varieties of foods, there's different rasas that one experiences or tastes that one experiences from the food. In the same way, there's different relationships and there's different tastes that one experiences from the relationships with Krishna. Okay. So, apart from that, let's talk about what's mentioned here, that the devotees are attracted to a particular form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is an individual thing. You can't convince someone to be attracted to a different form. You can try. But someone who is actually a devotee, as we mentioned in the beginning of class there, that means pure devotee, they're completely dedicated to that one form, and they can't keep their minds off of that one form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the chastity that a pure devotee has. And the examples, there are some examples of this, are one example, of course, is Anupama, who is the brother of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. And an upama was dedicated to Lord Ramachandra. And Rupa and Sanatana Goswami did their best to try to teach him to chant Hare Krishna and meditate on Radha and Krishna. And so they insisted, and Anupama tried, just out of deference to his brother's instructions, his brother's position. And then what happened? He just like stayed up all night crying because he couldn't keep his mind off of Lord Ramchandra. It's nice, isn't it? It's nice. It's not that, oh, he's in Maya or something like that, or he's only in raw and reverence. You know, you criticize Hanuman, you get in trouble. So he's not Hanuman, of course. But then in Lord Chaitanya's, amongst Lord Chaitanya's intimate associates, then you have Murari Gupta, who had a similar mood. And even Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, and Murari Gupta knew he was Krishna himself, tried to convince, Lord Chaitanya tried to convince Murari Gupta to worship Krishna instead of Ram. And then the same thing happened. The Murari Gupta just stayed up all night, you know, or several nights without sleeping. He was crying. Actually, it's interesting. Tears are there when manifested for Krishna. That's the perfection of tears. But when manifested for one's own self, you know, woe is me, no one loves me, I wish I had more to eat, or something like that. Or he's no good, he's no nice, not nice to me, I wish people were nicer to me, or why is he so mean, or something like that. So that's material tears. But the spiritual tears are one of the bhavas that one has in relationship to the Lord. So that's really what we should be hankering for as the acharyas chant, you know, Goranga balite habi pula, Narottamadas Thakura chants, Goranga balite habi pula ka sharira. When will the hairs of my body stand on end? And just hearing the name of Goranga. So if all you want to cry, we should cry for Krishna. And actually, Rupa Goswami says that's the price of pure devotional service. Tears. Prabhupada also said the same thing. You should be crying. When will that day be mine? So, anyway, so getting back to the point, Murari Gupta, he stayed up all night. He was crying. I cannot reject my worshipable Lord. And he presented this to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya was quite pleased with him. And he gave him the name Ramdas. He said, you are Ramdas. You are a servant of Lord Ram, and you are Hanuman. At least you're an incarnation of Hanuman. So this is, you know, this sort of dedication and chastity is extremely important for those who are on that platform. I mean, they're dedicated to a particular form of the Supreme Personality of God, and nobody can take their mind away from that form. And not only dedicated to the form, but they're dedicated to serving that particular manifestation of the Lord, even though they know that Ete Changsa Kalatpumsa Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Even though they know that Krishna is the source of all incarnations, still, you know, philosophically is one thing, but emotionally is another thing. You understand? I mean, there's philosophical information they have, but emotionally they're attached to a particular form. And the example of that is given in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita with Hanuman. Hanuman, of course, is very attracted or attached, not just attracted, attached to Lord Ram. And Hanuman is situated in this place called Kim Purusha Loka. Kim Purusha means, is he a human being or is he a person? You know, Purusha can mean person or human. Is he a human? So Hanuman's not just like the gorillas you see in the North Carolina Zoo. But it's sort of like, it's more human form than that. You know, it's not that there's just hair all over the body, you know, and, you know, big snub nose and everything like that. It's like half and half. That's Kim Purusha. So Hanuman, the story in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is as follows, that Hanuman, of course, is in Kim Purusha Loka, and he was told by Lord Ram to stay in this world as long as his pastimes, Lord Ram's pastimes, are chanted. Practically everybody else went back to the eternal Ayodhya in the spiritual world except for Hanuman. And so you think, poor Hanuman, he's left in this world. But actually, he realized the non-difference between the Lord's pastimes, or the recitation of the Lord's pastimes, and the Lord himself. In fact, worshiping the Lord in separation is more intense of a meditation than actually worshiping the Lord when the Lord is present. What do they say? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. That's in the material world. Because in the material world, absence makes the heart grow fonder, but when you actually come in contact with a person, you get tired of them. You're thinking, oh, when are they going away again? Isn't it? You know, when are they going to hit the road? But in the spiritual realm with Krishna, you're not thinking, when is Krishna going to go away again? You're in anxiety that Krishna is going to go away again. So it's a little bit different, a lot different, than in the material world where, you know, when their absence, oh, I just miss Billy Joe or whatever her name is. And then when you see her again, oh, my God, I didn't realize she was such a nag. But spiritually, it's not like that. Anyway, so Hanuman is worshiping Lord Ram in separation, and that worship is more intense than worship in meeting. And the same thing with the gopis in Vrindavan. So he's up there, and he has deities of Sita and Ram there, and he's worshiping. And so what happened is, in the story in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, is that Narada Muni is looking for the best devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Narada Muni has gone through several different personalities before Hanuman. He's gone through Lord Brahma, he's gone to Lord Shiva, he's seen Pallad Maharaj, and each one of these devotees let's say, very humble. And each one of these devotees explains to Narada Muni why he's not such a good devotee. Like Pallad Maharaj describes to Narada that I'm not such a good devotee because actually I didn't see the Lord many times, just once when he came to save me, and then another time when I was fighting with him. And then basically all I do is remember Krishna. I don't do anything else practical. If you want to meet someone who does something practical and serves Krishna all the time, you got to meet Hanuman. So Pallad Maharaj had this particular reason why he's not such a good devotee of the Lord. So Narada Muni went to Hanuman and started to glorify Hanuman for all of his service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Hanuman took Narada Muni to see the deity of Lord Ram and Sita, which is interesting. Just like it's mentioned here in the verse and the purport, that the deities of the Lord are manifest for the devotees. So even Hanuman is worshiping deities. Hanuman is doing deity worship. So he takes Narada Muni to see the deity, and Narada Muni is praising him like that. And Hanuman, of course, speaks to Narada Muni and tells Narada Muni why he is not such a good devotee. In fact, he is a good devotee, but it's his natural humility. And he says that that Lord Ram took everybody back to Godhead except for me. He's left me here in this material world. And if you actually want to see good devotees, go to see the Pandavas. And, you know, Krishna is always with the Pandavas, and he calls Draupadi his friend. Draupadi is actually called Krishna, because she is actually a similar complexion to Krishna, and she's very friendly. She's like Krishna's friend. Sometimes we hear the word Sakhi. Sakhi, in a Vrindavan context, means one of the gopi associates of Srimati Radharani. But Sakhi actually means friend in feminine form. There's Sakha and Sakhi. So Krishna actually had like a friendship relationship with Draupadi. It wasn't a conjugal relationship, it was a friendship relationship. So, Narada Muni is encouraged to go to see the Pandavas. And then then Hanuman says, I can't go with you. And the reason I can't go with you is because I can't go anywhere without getting the express order of Lord Ramachandra. Even to see Krishna and Dwarka. Can you imagine that? I mean, how many of us are that dedicated? That get dedicated to Krishna, to the deities, or to our spiritual master, that, you know, we won't go without permission. Of course, that's a training that a brahmachari is supposed to get. Of course, brahmachari is almost extinct now. Endangered species. At least in America. In India, it's not. So, like, that's a training a brahmachari is supposed to get, that a brahmachari doesn't take prasadam unless the guru calls for him to take prasadam. I mean, that's great training. I don't know how many people would tolerate that nowadays. I mean, just like that story in the Mahabharata about the guru who, he had a disciple, and the disciple was, I guess, he was a little horizontally challenged. So he sent the disciple out to herd the cows, and the disciple, because he wanted the disciple to get some exercise and get better health, but the disciple kept having that particular issue. I have to be careful by my wording nowadays. I have to be careful. Then he asked the disciple, you know, where are you eating? The disciple said, I'm begging. And the guru said, no, you're supposed to give me everything when you beg. And the disciple said, okay, Gurudev. And then he kept having that issue. And then the second time the guru asked him, why you keep having that issue? And he said, well, I'm begging, giving you everything, but then I'm begging again for myself. And the guru said, no, everything, every time you beg, you're supposed to give to me. Not just the first time, every time. So the disciple kept having the issue even after that. And then the guru said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm drinking the milk from the cows. And the guru said, no, that milk is for the calves. Anyway, to make a long story short, kept having the issue. Next time he was just drinking the froth that the calves were leaving over when they were drinking from the udder of the cows. And the guru said, no, you can't do that. The calves are too merciful. You have to obey my instructions. Eventually, the disciple was so hungry, he started eating the leaves from some trees that were poisonous. And then he fell into a ditch. And when he fell into the ditch, he was blinded. And the guru came and saw him, because the guru was worried and come back that night. And the guru said, you know, what happened? And the guru instructed him that you should pray to the Ashwini Kumaras, and the Ashwini Kumaras will cure you. And then later on, the Ashwini Kumaras came and gave him some cake, and this disciple said, no, I can't eat without my guru's permission. And so everybody was very pleased. He got his sight back, and he lived happily ever after, and he got married. So I don't know if you can separate the two, but anyway, he lived happily ever after. He pleased his guru. So the point is that was the dedication he had, that without permission, he wouldn't eat. I mean, he had to get a little training first. He was trying to follow the letter of the law without following the spirit of the law. You know what that means? That means, you know, I did what you said, Gurudev, but I was just like, you didn't cover this, you know, you didn't cover this particular aspect, you know. It's interesting how people do that. Like, we're talking about that on the GBC, about how people come to different areas, you know, sannyasis come to different areas and they collect money. And, you know, we have to cover all the bases so they can't get away with the money. I mean, it's not such a big problem, but I mean, anyway, there was one sannyasi who collected $1 million.
Not around here.
But anyway, so we're thinking, you know, people are following the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law. So the point is, this disciple needed a little bit of training. But that's the attitude one should have in relationship to the Guru and to a particular form of the Lord, particular deity that they're worshipping, is that they... Even we find Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, before he embarked upon composing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, got permission from Madan Mohan. He went to the deity. He didn't think, oh, I'm going to do this, you know, it's so nice. He went to the Madan Mohan Vigraha. Vigraha means form. And in this particular context, it means deity. He went to the deity, and the deity gave him a garland. I mean, it's not that the deity got off the altar and put a garland on his neck. But, you know, he asked the deity for permission. At that moment, the deity's garland fell from the deity's. So you can understand that indicates something. That if the garland falls, it's like when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was supposed to have his grain-giving ceremony when he was a very young child, baby. The Lord Jagannath's garland fell on him at that point. And the cart stopped in front of the house. So Krishna manifests these things. In many cases, we find that Krishna manifests these things to give us a particular indication. One has to keep their eyes and ears open to hear those indications or to see those indications. So, anyway, yes, one should be very careful to be chaste and dedicated like that. So, apart from that, let's talk about Hanuman. So Hanuman, he was very dedicated to worshiping Lord Ram. And he wouldn't even go to see Krishna without Lord Ram's permission. And there's one story in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita about that. That once upon a time, Krishna and Dwarka sent a message with Garuda that he wanted to see Hanuman. And Hanuman basically said, no, without Lord Ram's permission, I'm not coming. And Garuda said to him, you're going whether you like it or not. And, of course, Hanuman is much more powerful than Garuda, and Garuda has a tendency sometimes to get puffed up or proud. Even one time Krishna had to show him that he wasn't dependent on Garuda when he put his elbow on Garuda's back, and Garuda was practically smashed because Garuda was saying, without me, you're not going anywhere. Lord Narayan, you're dependent on me. I'm your driver and your chariot combined. So Lord Ram Krishna taught him a lesson. So anyway, so you know, Garuda was sent back by Hanuman, head over tail, back to the back to Krishna and Dwarka. And Krishna and Dwarka said to Garuda, "What happened?" And Garuda explained. And then Krishna understood that Hanuman was not coming unless Lord Ram gave him his permission. So Krishna and Dwarka assumed the form of Ram, and he had Rukmini assume the form of Sita Devi, and Balaram, of course, Lakshman. And then he said, now you can inform Hanuman that Lord Ram is calling him. And so Garuda went there, and he was careful. He didn't go close to Hanuman at that point. He just like said, I'm staying away from this monkey. Staying away, this, you know, there's some dangerous monkey here, you know. Then even with his tail, he could cause me to fly head over tails. You know, I was proud of my feathers before. But this guy's tail is much better than my feathers. So, when Hanuman heard that, he went to Dwarka to see Lord Ram. Because Krishna and Lord Ram, they're non-different. So, how does it apply to us? That we all have a particular form of the Lord, and actually particular deities. Because also deities are mentioned here in this particular purport, in addition to form of the Lord. If you read the purport, it says, the Lord, out of his affection, presents himself as the Arch of Vigraha. And that is personally. So one remains faithful. Of course, for us, we may not realize our eternal rasa with Krishna or the form of the Lord that we're going to worship in the spiritual world. I mean, some of us may be Ram Bhaktas. That may come as a shock to you. It's not that you're lesser, that we shouldn't see like that. Some of us are Krishna bhaktas, and some of us may be Narayan bhaktas. Of course, most of the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement are going to focus on going back to Goloka Vrindavan. That's true. But we do have devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement who are Ram bhaktas. I mean, look at Murari Gupta. He's a Ram bhakta, and he was part of the Krishna consciousness movement. And better not criticize Murari Gupta, you'll be in trouble. So we may not be aware of, you know, our transcendental affection, the focus of our transcendental affection at this particular point. And certainly most of us are not aware of our rus, and that means the taste, for a particular relationship in the spiritual world. Sometimes we may speculate. When I was first a devotee, I speculated that I was a cowherd boy. Myself and all the brahmacharis would sit in the ashram and say, yes, I'm a cowherd boy. And someone else would say, yes, I'm a cowherd boy too. And in this way, we talk about our relationship with Krishna in the spiritual realm. But that's called sahajism. I mean, we weren't like flaming sahajas, as they say. It's not that, you know, that we were just like dressing up like with flutes and like little coward boy outfits in the brahmachari ashram. That's a real sahaja. But it is sahaja. You know, sahaja, it means to take things cheaply. So we were taking things cheaply, thinking we were more advanced than we actually are. And generally, we do have that problem. Most of us have that problem. We think we're more advanced than we actually are. And of course, that causes us to commit offenses against devotees when we think we're more advanced. We're just thinking, why don't they serve me? They don't know who I am. Do you ever think like that? They don't know who I actually am, how advanced I am, how dedicated I am, how wonderful I am. Of course, that's called false ego. So sahajism is actually another branch of the false ego concept. So, yeah, so we don't really know who we are in the spiritual world. We may have an inkling of attraction to a particular form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one thing we can do is remain faithful to the Archa Vigraha form of the Lord that we are worshiping. Actually, Prabhupada said when one worships a particular Archa Vigraha form of the Lord and is dedicated to that Archa Vigraha form, then one even sees the other deities in other places to be like expansions of that Archa Vigraha form. Just like we are worshiping here Radha Golokananda, so when we go somewhere else, we just say, oh, that's Radha Golokananda on the altar. Just like I was in Texas, and they have Radha Nila Madhava on the altar. Actually, it's the biggest Krishna deity, I think, in the Western world. The biggest ISKCON Krishna deity. They have bigger deities of Balaji in some of the South Indian temples. And I remember the first time I went to Houston, Texas, it was when Tamal Krishnamurti was on the planet. And the curtains opened, and they also have the biggest Govardhan Shila practically of anywhere in the Western world, as far as I've seen. It's about this big. I don't even know how they got him back on the airplane. You know, whether they put him in the seat or something like that. And what were people thinking in the airline when they put a big stone on the seat? So anyways, with eyes on it, on the seat. So they opened up the curtains, and first thing I said, you know, I didn't say, please set my basis is Krishna. I said, wow. That was the first time I saw the deities in Houston. And Tamal Krishnamurti was right next to me. And I said, wow. And he said something really funny. He said, everything's bigger in Texas. You know, it's really funny. I mean, that, you know, some people say he didn't have a sense of humor. He was heavy. But he had a really good sense of humor. Even I wouldn't be so quick to come up with such a statement like that. So, but basically, so I was just there and I saw the deities again. And big, big Krishna. I posted some pictures on my Facebook page. But when I see the deities, I see them as expansions, manifestations let's say manifestations rather than expansions, of Radha Galokananda. Because those are the deities I've been worshiping all these years. And so that whenever I go someplace, just like you have a Madhavendra Puri, whenever he went someplace and he heard about some nice preparation being offered, he would think, how can I prepare that preparation for my Gopal? Isn't it? Just like he installed Gopal on top of Govardhan Hill. And then he went to the temple of Shura Chora Gopinath, and he heard about the chira, that means the condensed milk preparation. He was thinking, I want to see them do it so I can prepare the same thing for Gopal. So that dedication is very, very important to a particular set of deities. I experienced that, and I think it keeps us very much focused that we're serving Radha Galokananda. And then, just like we're building a new temple, for Radha Galokananda. It's not building a new temple so that everybody will understand, you know, what a great devotee I am. So many temples have I opened today, so many more will I open tomorrow. Like the divine and demoniac nature. So the point is that's really how we remain focused in Krishna consciousness. By being attracted to a particular form of the Lord, particular deities, and that keeps us focused in service or seva, because we are sevites or servants. So any questions or comments? We have about 1 minute left for class. Questions, comments, arguments, problems?
Back there.
Back where? Mother Krishna Priya. Yeah.
I was just thinking when you were speaking about, you know, being attached to a particular form of the Lord, that one has to also be willing to make sacrifice for the Lord, that it's really important that we don't develop, you know, Sahaja is one way, but Sahaja is also thinking that the deity is just there for pleasure, and that Krishna really tests what's going to be willing to sacrifice, you know, when service is needed. If the deities need service, are they willing to go?
Yes.
The next mile, or is it just concerned with our own?
Yeah, that's a very important point. It's like I want Krishna to stay in this temple here and not go to a big temple, but Krishna says I want to go to